Good afternoon, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to the Mesa City Council study session for December the 11th. All of our council are present and accounted for. The first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for our meeting upstairs tonight. So, council, if you could please take a look at that document. First several items are various liquor license applications. And purchase contracts under agenda item 4. This is the same agenda we went over Thursday. Let us know if you any questions have come up since then. Agenda item 5 is taking action on resolutions. And 6 is introducing zoning ordinances, and 7 is taking comment on previously introduced ordinances, 8 is subdivision plats. Council, anything on that agenda? Ask it. Yes, Mr. Whitaker.
I'd like to request that the Amoresco contract be taken off the consent. I don't know the number. I haven't pulled it up yet.
Yeah, I think that's agenda item 5H. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay. So we will take 5H off of the consent agenda. So if staff is here, then could just be available to answer any questions or remind us the details.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I just want to take a second to make a few comments
on the Amoresco contract. The first thing I want to say is I'm a huge proponent of solar electricity. I personally have 20 kilowatts of solar installed in my house. But I think that, you know, I've worked with Scott and others on that specific project, and one of the issues I have is there simply exists no ROI on the Amoresco contract, which is one of my concerns. That in the city of Mesa electric grid, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but our wholesale electricity cost is 3 cents per kilowatt hour versus the 14.5 cents that we'll be paying to Amoresco, I think, at a net loss of $126,730 per year for the life of the 25-year contract, I'm assuming, and it goes down slowly as the panels degrade over the 25-year period, I would assume. But one of the things I just want to say on the solar, I think that, you know, when we try to do renewable energies, we give arguments to opponents of solar electricity when we do projects that don't make financial sense. And I know that we've done other projects that we've worked on in the past that have been great. They have either an ROI or a net zero cost. So we're funding, you know, as long as the energy is coming from a renewable resource, I think we can take a small loss to say that it's more sustainable. But in the case of Amoresco, I just don't, at $126,000 loss per year, I don't believe that that makes sense. The other issue that I have with the contract is the patents with the power parasol. Vague patents in which they try to patent everything over 18 feet tall, I think is crazy, and I think it's detrimental to the solar industry when you say we're going to create patents on any structures that are over 18 feet tall. So those are just the comments that I want to make, and I'll be opposing the Amoresco deal during the meeting tonight.
Okay.
Mayor, can I just, I appreciate that analysis, but I think the only thing I want to be clear so that we have the chance in front of the public to make them understand is we're not passing along the entire 14 and a half cents for power cost to the electric customers in Mesa. Because we've looked at this, like this deal, like we've looked at the other solar deals in Mesa where there's going to be shade structure as well as an event center. And so we've associated some of that cost related to the 14 and a half cents to the Mesa Arts Center as well as to the city as a whole for the shaded parking. So I want to be careful we don't suggest that the ratepayers are going to be hit with that number. So we are we have payments that will be coming from the Mesa Arts Center as well as from the broader general fund to kind of associate. And I agree, we all agree with the issue about the concern about the over 18 feet, but that's a legal patent that was established before this deal. But I just want to be careful that we don't suggest to the 5 square mile in electric customers that they're going to be paying that entire 14 and a half cents. And am I saying this right? Okay, that we've broken down some of that cost and said some of that cost will go to providing shade and as well as the event center. And we have really three different buckets to cover that cost. And I think the net number to the Mesa Electric customer is set, what is it?
Seven and a quarter.
I mean, I agree with, I mean, Ms. Whitaker's points all well taken. I just don't want someone to say a Mesa ratepayer is going to pay instead of 3.5 cents, they're going to pay 14 and a half cents. That's not the case. We will not pass on the 14 and a half cents to the Mesa Electric customer.
Thank you. Mr. Freeman.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Brady, for your comments. Even though I have some quandaries with this, I thought about a 25-year lease paying $128,000 a year. During that lease period, that's $3.2 million. And I guess that's where I struggled with this component. When you could go out on the outside market and buy solar for probably 3.5 to 4 cents, and then with the distribution costs to get it into the grid. But relatively cheap. That's why I pushed for it. And I'd like the council to consider in the future that we develop a strategic plan for our renewable energies. And one of the components I asked for was if we choose to purchase this solar parasol project in a 6, 10, or 15, or however many year increment, that we prepare ourselves today for that funding through bonding or other, and take that cost and then bring it back into our system. And then we're already in the enterprise system as it is. So it makes perfect sense to me that let the private sector take the tax incentives, tax credits, depreciation, which we can as a city, and then we purchase it in the future. And that'd be my only comments. So I'm going to support it for the reason that I think it's a good project, even though some of the tenets I don't agree with.
Okay. Mr. Brady, correct me about when we've had a couple of study sessions where we dove into this pretty deep. And my recollection is that there was a pretty narrow tipping point here, if we bill it ourselves and we operate it ourselves versus this route where we have a contractor come in and do it and take on the risk associated with building and operating the system, that the cost between it, that was the choice that was presented. And it seemed like it was the difference between those two was negligible. And so I think we decided to err on the side of not assuming the risk of owning and operating that facility and going out and hiring the folks that are, you know, developing a new area of expertise in our electric department. And that was one of the things that helped us err on the side of doing it this way. Am I correct?
That is correct. And also we have established the option to purchase at a later time, I think beginning year six?
Year six,
year
yes.
Six. So if we decide that's what we want to do, we have that option in year six.
Okay. So the rate that we're paying for this electricity, is it dramatically higher than what we would be paying for run-of-the-mill City of Mesa electric electricity?
Well, let's compare it to what we would be able to buy, what our pricing today is for solar to bring into the grid today. Maybe we ought to make that comparison. Because if you're comparing our average, what it costs us for power, it doesn't include, I mean, it's mostly hydroelectric, coal,
High-efficiency natural gas.
Right. So maybe what's the comparison with solar?
So in August, we went out for what we call a request for indicative offers, which is not really any kind of commitment to either buy or sell, but it's just to give us an opportunity to gauge the market, where's the market at in terms of supply and price. And so the ranges of price that we saw in those bids ranged starting at a low of about 3 cents and went up to much higher prices. Now, the 3 cent project is a large solar utility scale solar project down in the Casa Grande area. It's not been built, so the types of pricing that you get in a request for indicative offer from a facility that's not yet been built is usually pretty aggressive pricing. They want to try and get financing for a project like that, so they need to get a contract. In order to get a contract, they want to put a low price out there. So in addition to the cost of the power at the plant that we would be contracting for, we have to transmit it into our system. And so there's an additional cost. So 3 cents would not be fair, it's not fair for me to say that 3 cents is that cost. It's 3 cents plus some other adders for things like the transmission cost, et cetera. A more realistic type of project that we think would be something for comparison in this instance is the type of projects that are also responding to the indicative offers. They're ones that are close in closer proximity to our system. Some of them have been built on utility scales, like for SRP, et cetera. Others are yet to be built, but they're priced in the 7 to 8 cent range. And then there's the cost of getting them to our system. So if you look at how we split that 14 and a half cents up between 7 and a quarter cents going to all of our customers as electric customers, and then the other 7 and a quarter cents going to the city's buildings, we feel like there's a pretty comparable acquisition of solar for a comparable cost of what we could get out on the market without the uncertainties of going to the market, trying to buy something from a project that's not yet built, et cetera. So that's that tipping point that I think you were talking about in those terms, as well as when we compared the cost of owning it versus the cost of this type of a contract. The net present value over 20 years was a very, very small number. And when you started including the uncertainties and the risks associated with what's it going to cost us to operate and maintain it with some of the variabilities in those, in that regard, it made us think that the contracting approach was the best approach.
Okay. I just want to clarify one thing. When I use the 3 cents comparison number, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the wholesale cost of electricity that we pay if a building exists inside the Mesa electric grid today, correct? Averaged.
So our current embedded cost of electrical supplies is around 3 cents a kilowatt hour. So that is contracts for hydroelectric power that we have under 25, 30-year contracts. It's also the portfolio of contracts that we have that range anywhere from an ad hoc purchase that's made during the summer on our behalf by the Western Area Power Administration, as well as the 5 or 10 year agreements that we acquire through our RFP. Clearly, other than the hydro projects, there's no green relationship to them. There's no way to call them any kind of a renewable or sustainable resource. We do feel like that based upon the pricing, they're sourced from very high efficient natural gas fired generation, complying with all the current environmental regulations, but they're not renewable in that regard.
Sure, and I'm not comparing the renewables to renewables. I'm just strictly talking from a financial perspective. When we implement this system, the electricity that we're offsetting, we're currently purchasing at 3 cents per kilowatt hour and replacing it with the Ameresco deal, which will be 15 cents, a 5 times multiplier at the Ameresco price that we're purchasing, right? I totally understand it's not green electricity, so there's not a comparison there in the form of the type of electricity, but strictly from a financial perspective.
Right. From the bill that our customers are going to see, the offset is pretty small. So if you take just the 7 and a quarter cents, not the 14 and a half cents, but you take the 7 and a quarter cents, and then you say that's going to displace our power that we buy on the market now at about 3 cents. The net impact to our customers, as it's stated in the city council report, excuse me while I find the reference to it.
Because as a percentage, this power is going to be such a small percentage of the total.
Right.
Yeah. Its impact on the rate to the ratepayer is going to be pretty small.
Yeah, it was less than 10 cents.
I think it was 9 cents a month for your average household in Mesa. So 9 cents total a month.
Yeah. Which is, if you look at page 4 of the council report, it's 11/100 of a percent increase. And it will meet about 0.3% of our total energy supplies.
Yeah, I'm not arguing the amount of electricity. I realize it's a small amount when you stretch it out. How many customers the city of Mesa has on the electric grid?
Almost 17,000.
Yeah, I mean, so when you stretch it over 17,000, of course, you know, it's going to be a minimal impact. Same argument can be made for a sales tax increase, right? It's a minimal amount when you stretch it over the millions of people that live in the city of Mesa. But it's more so just the fact that we're offsetting the 3 cents electric cost with a 15 cents that I have the issue with.
I guess in my mind, if we were analyzing this as a commercial solar energy production facility, we wouldn't do this because, number one, you wouldn't build it 28 feet up in the air, and it wouldn't be this size, and it wouldn't be in this location. What we're doing is adding, making a green energy statement on top of a shade structure. We're building a shade structure as a venue for outdoor activities with all the lighting built in, and it's more of a venue slash shade structure for the MAC. And then we had the idea, well, why don't we make a green energy statement while we're building the structure and throw some solar production facilities up on top so that, because to send that message that we care about it and we want to do it. So if we were if you scrutinize this as a business deal, I don't think anyone can disagree with Jeremy that this is not the best way to produce solar energy. But if we just say we're dressing up a shade structure at the MAC and sending a green energy statement by putting these up there, I think that's more in line with how I'm viewing this.
The question I would ask myself is if I wanted to create, and I know that this isn't an exact comparison, but if I was going to put a shade structure in my driveway to give shade to my cars, would I agree to pay five times the amount for the electricity if the shade structure that I built in my driveway was made out of solar? And if I can't answer that question from a personal perspective, that I wouldn't make that decision, then as a steward of the taxpayer, I would never make that decision on a grander scale, right? Because essentially that's what you're doing. So I would never, I understand your perspective, but
Mayor,
I would never pay a five times multiplier on electricity for solar. And I think that gives an argument to opponents of renewable energy, opponents of solar electricity, that, you know, look, the city of Mesa just implemented solar, and now as taxpayers are paying five times the amount for the electricity that we would have been paying otherwise. So, you know, I think that's detrimental to the cause from my perspective.
Just one other observation that I could share is that in these types of decisions in the utility profession, we look at them as a long-term type of investment. So what may be 3 cents per kilowatt hour today, especially if it's sourced from natural gas, especially with the market dynamics, it's likely to be increasing over time. So that's why we use net present value techniques. And so when we looked at the net present value of this contract, breaking it down into its multiple parts as well as its singular part, and comparing that to our incremental resources that we're going to go out on the market and otherwise buy through competitive solicitations and term contracts of anywhere between 2 and 5 and 10 years, over time, the cost of this power will be less than what we expect those market prices to rise to. I don't recall what the exact crossover point is, but when you look at it on a long-term basis, that's our customary practice in the utility world, is you don't just look at 3 cents today and 7 and a quarter cents today. You look at 3 cents per kilowatt hour rising at some inflationary rate over time, and you look at the cost that's without any inflation over time on a solar contract like this.
Sure. And so from the 3 cents on the wholesale side that we pay today, if we look back 25 years, what is that inflation-based number?
Well, recently, because of things like the drilling of natural gas and the abundance of natural gas, and we're not importing natural gas, we're exporting natural gas, it's been a negative inflation over the last 10, 15 years.
And so my understanding is renewable energy has overtaken natural gas as the cheapest form of energy at this point, correct?
I think certain types of renewable energy, such as wind, might be in some instances lower price, but that's also intermittent and non-firm. And so you can calculate the cost of power that way, but once you add in the types of services or additional types of resource needs that customers require, then that wind power is not exactly cheaper than, say, natural gas fired. There's an intermittency to wind that you have to back up and firm up with some other type of resources, and typically that's a hydro plant or a gas-fired power plant.
Yeah, I was just under the assumption that solar electricity had overtaken natural gas as the cheapest form of energy in the last year. So to your point of the inflation being negative, I would assume moving forward with all the advances in solar technology, I mean, solar in itself has exponentially gotten cheaper over the last, say, 10 years. I would assume that trend would continue given all the efficiencies that they keep finding in, you know, the photovoltaic cells. So I don't know that it's safe to assume an energy inflation cost, especially on the wholesale side. But
For conventional, when I mentioned that, I was meaning to refer to conventional resources such as natural gas.
Sure. Okay.
Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Brady, I have a question for you. If we choose to exercise the early purchase options, is there a benchmark that would come to council, say 6 years from now or 5 years from now? How is that tracked, I guess, is my question.
Well, we would bring to you, my understanding is because of the IRS rules, we'd be coming to council on establishing whatever the, is it the appraised value or the mark? What's the rate?
Fair market value.
There would have to be an established fair market value of the asset, and we would bring that to council. And we would do the analysis again about the procurement of that up front and the cost of capital to purchase that versus the continuing, ongoing, the agreement we have today. So it'll come down to the cost of capital and the cost to maintain that over the remaining term of the agreement. So that's how we would do the similar analysis again.
Okay, maybe I didn't explain myself. So how does it tract? I mean, Anthony, do you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah. So with these, all our contracts, we track the expiration date and the renewal options. So we'd bring it to council just like we're doing today.
Okay.
Let you guys
so like in 5 years from now, you would say, hey, this is coming, or 5.5 years from now. I don't know who's going to be here in five.
If that's the council. Well, and that's why I think we would want the council. Really, you can't bind a future.
Yeah, we will.
You can't bind a future council. So at that point, 5 years from now, council would have to say, we'd like to look into this.
Okay, that's where I'm at.
We can't bind the future council, but we can certainly bring it. And
I just
ask
don't want to hide, you know, under the quilts or something like
that. No, listen, if it's a better deal for us, we'll do it. But again, remember, this is a three-stool deal. This is not just about power rates. This is about power rates, it's about shade for the whole city, and it's about a venue which we think will be able to recover some of the costs that's coming out of the Mesa Arts Center. They're paying how much a month or a year for this?
About $12,000 for the additional event features.
So they're paying that. So that goes into offsetting those extended costs. So hopefully we can exceed that, and that will become something we'll bring back in the analysis for council too.
Thank you, sir.
My one last question, if we decide to purchase this at any of the first 6 year increment or any of the other increments, I'm assuming the value is going to be somewhere around the cost of $2 million. Is that a safe assumption?
There's some estimates in regards to that, but then again, because of the IRS rules, it would be at either a fair market value or the termination price that they had in the contract, the greater of those two.
Yeah, I guess for the sake of the question, if we assume the fair market value is $1.5 million and council decides to execute and purchase in 6 years, do we have $1.5 million in the general fund in which we could just...
Well, this is an enterprise fund. So it'd have to be... We'd probably come to you with the cost of capital, which is the borrowing cost of $1.5 million. That's how we've run the analysis today, is determining what that cost would be over the remaining period of time. So we would bring that, and it's the same analysis we're doing today, is what would be the, when we decided, said if we were to purchase it, we said purchase price is this, what is our typical rate of borrowing, and we just run that into the same comparison as our lease amount. And that's how we would do it. We do the same analysis essentially again.
So we would have the funds available if we decided to purchase in 6 years?
We have access to get capital. We'd have to go to the market. I don't know. At that point, we'd have to determine anytime you take dollars out of operating, it's dollars less for capital. And so we'd have to make the decision, do we take out dollars out of operations and that affects operational impacts, or do we go borrow the money? We have authorization for the electric utility. I'm not sure if the wording Well, it supports it, yeah.
In 2014, we did include some, for the 2014 bond authorization, we did include some projects for solar, so presumably if we were to do one between now and year six, we could increase the amount of allocation or request for solar and include that.
And in 2 years or so, we've talked about possibly coming back for another authorization for the electric enterprise, so that could be, we could identify that. You don't have to spend the authorization, but we could at least identify it as an allocation within that approval.
Well, the good news is this is off the consent agenda, so we'll have this conversation all over again upstairs, possibly, or not. I'm not. It's a great conversation to have. I'm glad we're debating the pros and cons of this, and this is. I'll look forward to the more discussion upstairs. Council, any other questions or concerns about our agenda, our consent agenda? So 5H is off the consent. If not, the next agenda item for this meeting is item 2, appointments to the Historic Preservation Board and the Museum and Cultural Advisory Board. Thank you. Mr. Freeman made a motion. Mr. Glover seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Next item is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Council, anything you'd like to share with us? Mr. Luna.
Just real quick, Mayor and Council. I attended the Cyclo Mesa Winterfest at Alta Mesa. And the transportation, bike, and pedestrian staff, Ashley Barinke and Amy McConnell, did a great job there. So we actually had snow in the park at Alta Mesa, so that was a lot of fun. And then this Thursday, we have a UConnect Mesa pop-up over at District 5 at the Red Mountain Multi-Generation Center at 11:30 for those residents that would like to attend that.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Council? If not, Mr. Brady, when's our next meeting?
January 4th, 8th with the council? Yeah, January 8th.
January
8th. 2018.
All right.
Next year.
And then, Mayor, long time in coming. We will have the Pioneer Park Grand Reopening Celebration this Saturday, December 16th at 4:30 p.m. There's a lot of excitement out there, and I can assure you, it's worth it. It is going to be fabulous. I'm still trying to come up for the name for the big tower, so I will announce. We'll announce it at. It won't be the Tower of Death. That's already taken.
That's right.
So we'll have to find something just as cool.
Well, they explain to people that this is kind of a tree themed.
Absolutely, we have this park is one of the great parks in Mesa, and one of the things that makes it one of the great parks is not only its history, but the fact that it does have some of the tallest trees probably in the city, I would think. And they're grand trees that are in the park. And so the staff has done a wonderful job of building structures that literally bring you up into the trees to enjoy that. And it's you don't have to be a climber. There's parts of it that you absolutely will challenge you to climb up into the play structure. But there's also some very great walkways that bring you up into the trees also to enjoy being up there. So I think it'll be a great experience. And there's that's just the beginning. We could go all day about the splash pads and all the other features that are out there. So we are very excited. Probably the best part is the bathrooms are awesome.
Wow.
Very clean, lit up, and they look great. So we're excited.
Yeah. Well, thanks. So this structure that's in the middle of the park, though, is kind of, to me...
It's actually in the back of the park, Mayor. That's why people can't see it, right? They're like, where is this thing? It's in the back of the park. Yeah.
So when people drive by Pioneer Park, you might not notice. It might look the same, but when you go to the back, you'll see all these great new playground structures.
Yep.
And the big structure, to me, is reminiscent of a tree.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm interested to see what nickname you come up with
for it. We'll work on it.
And the water features are probably worth mentioning. Again, a lot of splash pads and things like this. But what I'm looking forward to is this wall of water.
Oh, yeah.
Like the curtain of water. Yeah, so I think we're going to see people from all over will be driving to Pioneer Park to play in it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's Saturday at 4:30.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Council, any other anything else for this meeting? If not, is there a motion to adjourn? Thank you, Mr. Luna. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.